Making our way through our outdoor living hour, we've got a special guest online calling from the other side of the country out of Long Island, New York. And you think, well, come on. What could Long Island possibly have to do in relation to growing anything in our garden in Arizona? Well, it all ties into this concept you've heard us talking about for years called the square foot gardening. And it was a concept by a man named Mel Bartholomew. And what really got me inspired about his process is when I got to sit down with him one night in Prescott. He was in town with a local supplier getting his system set up, and I got invited to sit down with dinner with him. And it was really his vision for what this system could do was to teach the world how to grow and eat their own food. And what drew me to him is he got rejected by major organizations and nonprofits that ask you to send them money to feed the hungry. And he brought this to him. He's like, well, if we taught the hungry how to feed themselves, then we wouldn't need to be an organization and like brush Mel off. It's like, here's the guy that's got your solution and you're brushing him off. It really drew me to his vision and his passion. And his son is taking over and is joining us from Long Island to talk about his father and the square foot garden. Steve, thanks for taking a few minutes to join us Saturday morning.
You're welcome. Welcome. Thank you.
It was quite a special dinner with your dad.
Yeah, he was a special man, and his whole concept of square foot gardening is at the time started out small, but really took on quite some legs once the TV show got going on PBS, and before you knew it, it could be seen across the nation on every Saturday afternoon, and it really did take off. It's such a simple concept, and of course, the humanitarian aspect of wanting to end world hunger was his mission. And my wife, Laura, and I have taken over the foundation once he passed, and we are working on articulating the aspect of trying to end world hunger one square foot at a time.
And how does that one square foot make a difference?
Well, you know, if everybody did that, it would really make a difference. When you think about the waste that's used in trucking vegetables across the country and the purchasing of vegetables from other countries that you could grow right here. Realistically, if everyone had a square foot garden in their own backyard, they really could help alleviate a lot of the waste in the world.
And what can you get out of a square foot when it comes down to growing?
You can get anywhere from one tomato plant to four lettuce plants, to 16 radish plants. And the standard square foot garden is a 4-foot by 4-foot bed, and that's 16 squares. And in many cases of the country, especially where you guys are, you can plant possibly with some shade more than one, probably two or three crops a year.
And then to set that up, I loved his on top of the ground concept. It didn't start with digging a bunch. It didn't start with cultivating a bunch. It was get the boards, get your parameter, your kit, dump in your soil, plant your seed.
Yeah, pretty much it. Pretty much it. The main thing that we're finding today is that people really want to know about Mel's mix. And this is your growing soil that he developed after years and years of research. And it's really quite simple. It's based on volume. So you're looking at 1/3 compost, 1/3 peat moss, and 1/3 coarse vermiculite. And in a typical 4-foot by 4-foot by 6-inch deep square box, that's 8 cubic feet.
And it doesn't have to be limited to this box either. One of the things that you learn in the Square Foot Gardening book is Mel experimented with all kinds of things. He would put trellises by him and grow melons vertically. The root system may be in there, but the plant doesn't have to be confined to the square foot box. I mean, you can let this system grow outside of itself.
And they do. And actually, it's quite pretty. When we have 3-foot by 6-foot beds right here outside of our kitchen. And a lot of times the herbs, my wife likes to plant the herbs in the corners, and they kind of spread out over onto the patio. And it's very pretty, and it looks really nice. And yes, the vertical does really well. Our tomato plants just skyrocketed this past summer, and we're looking forward to another good crop this year.
Now, my family goes back to southwest Louisiana, and I've got a lot of relatives that are rice farmers, and I thought I was I thought I was going to stump Mel and jokingly say, well, you know, you could do everything but rice in this. And he said, you know what? No, I got rice to grow. I just had to plant them all in styrofoam so they floated. And I would put the rice at the bottom of the styrofoam so it was in the water like it needed to be. He's like, you just have to waterproof your box, but you could do rice. I thought, gosh darn it.
You could.
He thought
really
of everything.
Could. You could pretty much grow anything in a square foot garden. We've seen them with one whole box filled with nothing but corn. Others may like, say, asparagus, which comes up every year. So the elevated beds also, we have one out here that we're testing that's an elevated bed that's used for people with disabilities. And, for instance, that right now is filled with garlic that's doing very well.
Well, it's a great concept. I'm so glad to hear you and your wife have taken this on and continued this mission of teaching people how to feed themselves at their own home, not only locally in the United States, but, you know, so much of his focus was Africa and third world countries where, you know, supplies of fresh fruits and vegetables weren't always there, but there was enough water in these places you could grow your own food.
And, you know, the interesting thing is you save so much in terms of wasting without, so let's take watering, for instance. A lot of the big old single row gardens, you're broadcasting water everywhere. You're watering everything but the plants. In many cases now with square foot gardening, you have a nice bucket next to your garden. It's sun warmed. You dip a little pail in there and you go ahead and water things right down at the near the root base where the plant enters the soil. And you save quite a bit that way. And in many arid places, saving water is traditional, and it's huge, and especially in Africa, we've got some people doing some wonderful things in South Africa, where a lot of the golf courses have been donating space. They've been building large-scale square-foot gardens, and the people in the village come out, and they garden it, and they're getting a lot of fresh vegetables, and they're conserving their water that way as well.
Now, there's a not a better time in Arizona to plant. We're coming right into April. Our soil temperatures are getting warm. I know we're going to have a big summer heat, but this is the time to start planting melons in particular. They do great here locally. In fact, Phoenix was almost named Pumpkinville when they came here from all the abandoned pumpkins and those types of vegetables that were left from the Indian tribes hundreds of years previously. Website to look up the Square Foot Gardening and find a local Melmix supplier?
You could. It is much easier to make it yourself, but we're in the process now of looking at the suppliers with either regional or national distribution for Mel's Mix. So we'll need a little bit more time on that. I'm not sure if that's going to happen this summer, but your listeners can go on to squarefootgardening.org, and we have all the requirements right there to make Mel's Mix. It is really simple.
And I love that about Mel, is it was never about, you know, what's in it for me. No, I'm teaching you how to do it. I'm teaching you how to do it.
Well, you know, you started off with that in the beginning where he was all about teaching somebody to fish instead of giving them the fish. So that was something that was near and dear to his heart. So this is, we're carrying on with that. The website has tremendous amount of free basics that we're giving out. I mean, we do want, we do feel strongly about our new edition, our new third edition. That's also available on the website through Amazon. But we do have quite a bit there that can get gardeners going.
Well, if you've ever considered gardening or if this hasn't inspired you to garden, you know what? Maybe your neighbor is and you can buy locally from your neighbor.
you could. And this is such a simple way. There's no reason why anybody can't garden anywhere in the country. Even where you have the tremendous heat out where you guys are in Arizona, some shade cloth on top of a small little protection cloth will do wonders to keep your garden growing and not burning up.
Steve Bartholomew, thank you for joining us from Long Island, New York this morning to tell us about the continuation that your family's doing through the Square Foot Gardening and the global mission of, you know, ending world hunger.
Great. Thanks very much. Remember, reuse, reduce, and recycle.
And we look forward to having him back on the air. There's quite a lot of developments that have changed through their company, and it's a really neat mission. But I've been promising we would get to the topic of selecting irrigation controller. I'm in the process of this. As I mentioned, I've got one that's 19 years old. It's fried. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, the new technology is great, but the electronic components got melted by the sun, basically, and there's still old timers out there that don't have those that are still working.
True, and I mean, we have to give a lot of credence to the fact that these poor devices do operate in some very harsh conditions. You imagine the temperature on that controller sitting on the west side of a Arizona afternoon west wall. You know, we try not to situate these controllers in the harsh walls, but you know, even just outside, you know, being in the Arizona heat, it's tough on these little computerized controllers to be out in that environment. So they do last an awfully long time, but, you know, they'd have a lifespan. Obviously, these electronic components fail with time. So, and there's such a wide variety of controllers to choose from nowadays. We like to try and find the right controller for the application. That's the first thing. But not one that's overcomplicated. Something that's easy for the controller, for the end user to use. Something that's as easy as possible for them to program. Because if it's too complicated, they're not going to use it. And that goes back to my first concern is if they're not going to use it, if they're scared of it, if they don't want to turn that key and open it and look at it, and if it's the old VCRs, remember, it's blinking 12. You know, if it's just going to be, you know, the wrong time and the wrong date, and they don't know, they just see the sprinklers come on every now and they don't know, you know, when it's set, you know, it's kind of all a moot point. So,
well, there's lots of different landscape suppliers throughout the state. You've mm-hmm. got Sprinkler World, you've got Ewing. I think John Deere is like Site One now or something,
yes,
like that.
Some name changing going on, but it's all available online. Good folks out there, you know, Sprinkler World's a good friend of ours. Obviously online, I don't need to say, I'm a big Rainbird fan. They make some great products, Hunter, Toro, all the biggies out there. There are some other little companies out there making some really interesting products now. It's more than we can go into here, but, a lot of, Wi-Fi products now where, you know, Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, you know, apps on your phone. We're getting away from controllers that you have to go to the controller and program it. Once you get these things plugged in and set up, you've got an app on your phone. You could be in Shanghai and turn your sprinklers on and off.
You mean so, there's an app for that?
Yes, there's an app for that. So, it's all part of the connected world. So,
well, we'll look forward to seeing those. I know a lot of times when they're new, it takes a couple years of development, and then...
Yeah, they're reaching, you know, some levels of maturity. It's all part of the Internet of Things, I'm not one of those people that jumps in and uses brand new things. I'm a little more stable in that regard. I've been around the industry long enough. I like to let things settle down a little bit.
The technology's there. The functionality follows.
Yeah, and I like to see things mature a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we have one final segment here. If you've got a question, we've got Paul that wants to talk about, again, coffee grounds and calcium in the water supply. That's something interesting. A Yuma farmer joined us at the beginning of the year and said, you know, a certain percent of the water that they're applying to their crop is to leach out the calcium that's in the water. So that's a big problem when it comes to landscaping. So we'll address that here at Rosie on the House. And with the amount of weeds, the amount of bugs have tripled. If you've got a garden that you're working hard to get a little produce out of, and those bugs think that you're doing all that hard work for them and enjoying your harvest, you can take care of that organically with Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. Acting all organic, you can consume the vegetables the same day it's applied because it's just that natural. It's actually developed out of old rum bottles that they found in the Caribbean that they were able to pull an ingredient out of and apply to Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. Caterpillars, beetles, spider mites, anything crawling on your vegetable, and it's, you can apply it in multiple different ways. You can hook up a sprayer, you can get a spray bottle. You can find it all over the state, including Treeland Nursery in Mesa, Summerwinds Nursery in Glendale, or Mesquite Valley Growers in Tucson. Find a local retailer at Bonide.com. Bonide products are family-made in America.